I'm sure of my role. I vote with my dollars for corporate control. I'll prove that I'm loyal and rush to the store, where spending is my contribution to war. And the American flag's on the counter for sale. We're all made in China by prisoners in jail.
Newsbreak from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. A website published dozens of photographs of American war dead arriving at the nation's largest military mortuary, prompting the Pentagon to order an information clampdown on Thursday. The photographs were released last week to First Amendment activist Russ Kick, who had filed a Freedom of Information Act request to receive the images. Air Force officials initially denied the request, but decided to release the photos after Kick appealed their decision. After Kick posted more than 350 photographs to his website, thememoryhole.org, the Defense Department banned the further release of the photographs to media outlets. The photos were taken at the Dover base, home to the mortuary, and most of the images are of flag-draped coffins. In yet another election year flip-flop, thousands of Iraqis who swore allegiance to Saddam Hussein's political party may be getting jobs under the U.S.-led coalition in Baghdad as the Bush administration struggles to put down growing resistance. General John Abizaid, head of Central Command, disclosed last week that the military was reaching out to former Iraqi army officers to help shore up the struggling Iraqi security services. After Saddam was toppled a year ago in the U.S.-led invasion, members of his ruling Ba'athist party and senior Iraqi military officers were banned from any role in the transition to Iraqi self-rule overseen by U.S. Viceroy L. Paul Bremer. The Bush administration's plans for a new caretaker government in Iraq would place severe limits on its sovereignty, including only partial command over its armed forces and no authority to enact new laws. These restrictions to the plan negotiated with Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN special envoy, were presented in detail for the first time by top administration officials at congressional hearings this week. The administration's plans seem likely to face objections on several fronts. More Minuteman News after this.
This week on TBTM Radio.
It says Pal Felcini and his allies, his chief aide, Scooter Libby.
Scooter. Bring that in here, Scooter. Scooter, get that to me at once. Yeah. Now, Scoot.
Scooter, make your bed.
That's got to be
Scooter.
Weird. That's weird. I mean, you know, that's like the beef.
I know, right?
This is weird. These guys, I mean, they're like some weird high school sitcom. What's the zip code for Washington, you know? 902?
902-10.
This is bad.
TBTM Radio, on the web at takebackthemedia.com.
A rampant rhinoceros gave a group of visitors a glimpse of nature in the raw at a British safari park when he tried to have sex with their car. Sharka, a 2-ton white rhino, got amorous with Dave Alsep's car when he stopped with three friends to take pictures of the animal mating with its partner, Trixie, at the West Midland Safari Park. The 12-year-old rhino tried to mount the Renault Laguna from the side, denting the doors and ripping off the wing mirrors before Dave drove away with a puffing Sharka in pursuit. For Minuteman News, this is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
A promotional letter from a Hummer dealer excitedly made this pitch. Allow me to introduce you to a fabulous opportunity. A tax loophole so big you could drive a Hummer H2 through it. I'm afraid he was not exaggerating. Tucked way down in the arcane language of one of George W.'s tax cuts for the rich was a provision that allows businesses to deduct up to $100,000 from their income taxes for the full cost of big SUVs. At a time when the federal deficit is bloating, at a time when we should be cutting back on the gluttonous consumption of foreign oil, at a time when pollution from cars is amassing a record level of the carbon dioxide gas that causes global warming, Washington has gouged a loophole into our tax laws that actively encourages people to avoid paying a big chunk of their taxes by buying the biggest, hoggiest gas guzzlers and pollution machines that exist in the entire auto kingdom. Bush's loophole literally requires buyers to go for the huge, most luxurious tanks on the road. Hummers, Range Rovers, Navigators, etc. The deduction only applies to vehicles weighing 6,000 pounds or more. Forget your zippy roadsters, your perky hybrids, your family sedans, your humble pickup trucks. To qualify for this tax break, your road machine has to be bigger than big. How big? Even the Ford Explorer or the Chevy Suburban does not qualify. An accountant tells of a client who was going to buy an Explorer. But by moving way up in price and weight to the yacht-like Lincoln Navigator, he was able to slip through Bush's loophole and save $20,000, meaning he got the bigger one for about the same as the Explorer would have cost, courtesy of us taxpayers. This is Jim Hightower saying, why should we be giving tax incentives to rich people so they can drive a glorified hog for their latte runs? To help shut down this loophole, call Taxpayers for Common Sense, 1-800-TAXPAYER.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eye!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Friday greetings. What a beautiful day. It's the end of the week. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. From coast to coast, Tom Hartman broadcasting live. On this Friday, the 23rd of April, the day that Sirhan Sirhan was sentenced to death for assassinating Robert F. Kennedy, one of the least investigated assassinations in history. Oddly enough, the autopsy showed that Kennedy was shot was killed by a bullet that was fired within a foot of his head from behind, and Sirhan Sirhan never got more than 6 to 10 feet closer to him than from in front of him. Anyhow, it's a remarkable story. On this day in 1564, they believe that Shakespeare was born. And perhaps most interesting, and we've got a thing on this we're going to get into in the third hour of the program, Coca-Cola today in 1985 changed their formula. A fascinating new study out about obesity kids and soft drinks. We'll get to that later. The claim and fact for the day, this is from David Stroh, the Center for American Progress. The president looks to the commanders. This is from White House spokesman Scott McClellan. And 2 days ago, he said, and I quote, "The president looks to the commanders in the theater to make the determinations of what is needed for our troops. They're the ones who are in the best position to look at circumstances on the ground and determine what is needed, and we have received assurances from Pentagon officials that the resources they have at this time are more than enough to meet their needs," end quote. See, what's happening is Scotty and the Bush administration are trying to weasel out of going back to Congress and saying, yes, there is no money in the budget, this $500 billion deficit budget for Iraq or Afghanistan, for this year and next, for the continuation of this year. You know, the federal year ends in October, or ends in September, begins in October. And no, there's no money in the budget for the end of the year. But we'd rather come back after the elections. That's when we'd like to discuss the fact that we need another $80, $90 billion. Here's the fact. Military officials say, quote, more money will be needed soon, and have identified unmet funding needs, including initiatives, I'm still quoting from the United States Pentagon, the Department of the Army, including initiatives aimed at providing equipment and weapons for troops in Iraq. Bush's, end quote, Bush's, the Army has publicly identified nearly $6 billion in funding requests that did not make Bush's $402 billion defense budget for 2005, including $132 million for bolt-on vehicle armor, not included, $879 million for combat helmets, not included, silk weight underwear, not included, boots and other clothing, not included. Silk weight underwear, by the way, maybe sound fancy, but if you're in a in an environment where it's 115 degrees in the shade, it becomes actually an urgency. $21.5 million, no pun intended, for M249 squad automatic weapons and $27 million for ammunition, magazines, night sights, and ammo packs. Also unfunded, $956 million for repairing desert-damaged equipment and $102 million to replace equipment lost in combat. The Marine Corps' unfunded budget requests, this I'm quoting from the Washington Post now, the Marine Corps' unfunded budget requests include $40 million for body armor, lightweight helmets, and other equipment. They're saying, you know, we'd like to get this stuff, guys. Do you mind paying for it? The Bush administration says, no, I don't think so. Here's the interesting event of the week. This is absolutely fascinating. And just absolutely great. It has to do with corporate personhood. In fact, one of our stations turned me on to this. Maybe they don't want to be outed. So I won't. But it's Arcata, California, is considering a resolution on corporate personhood. And this is just a great opportunity to spend a couple of minutes revisiting this thing. The founders of America, when they first started this country, were really clear and absolutely explicit. You read the writings of Jefferson, you read the, well, any of them, actually. I mean, you know, it's by and large. Hamilton was a little flaky about this stuff. But I mean, even John Adams, who ended up being, through his presidency anyway, something close to a fascist, with the Alien and Sedition Acts and throwing in prison without term, in other words, forever, if he'd gotten reelected, throwing in prison people like Benjamin Franklin Bach, Ben Franklin's grandson, who published a newspaper called the Aurora that dared to call President Adams old, toothless, querulous, and bald. He went to prison for that. Or Matthew Lyon, the congressman from Vermont, who went to prison for standing up in the House of Representatives and condemning John Adams, saying that he was not working in the interest of the average people, but only in the interest of the wealthy. They put him in prison for this. Matthew Lyons, congressman from Vermont. He ran for re-election in 1798. He ran for re-election from his jail cell in Vergennes, Vermont. And he won. When finally Thomas Jefferson was elected in 1800 and Adams was sent packing, Jefferson released all of the prisoners. The Alien and Sedition Act had expired. It was timed to expire on the last day of Adams, most of the provisions of it, on the last day of Adams' presidency. Thomas Jefferson officially pardoned all these people, opened the doors of the prisons, let out the newspaper publishers, and even reimbursed them for their losses with an official apology from the United States government. And Matthew Lyons was let out of jail so that he could go back to Congress. And on the procession from Vermont to Washington, D.C., which took him several days, done by horseback, all along the way, people lined up to cheer him. In the second hour of our program today, we're going to talk with Bernie Sanders. It'll be our Brunch with Bernie segment. And Bernie has proposed a postage stamp with Matthew Lyons on it. That should be an interesting conversation. Anyhow, Arcata, well, we'll get back to Arcata, California in just a second. The founders were really clear, with the exception perhaps of Hamilton. And Adams, of course, went off course, as I just said. The founders were really clear that historically, through the 6,000 years, all the way back to the Gilgamesh in Iraq, you know, the founding of what we call modern civilization, that for the 6,000-year history of quote, civilization, end quote, We, with the single exception of a little less than 300 years in Greece, back, you know, before Christ, with the single exception of that, that experiment in Athens, with that single exception, that for all those 6,000 years, humans had always been ruled by one of three groups. The three historic tyrannies that Jefferson identified. Warlord kings, those who rule by threat of violence and force, and by maintaining continuous warfare. They would cut deals with each other, these kings, and, you know, nearby kingdoms. You travel around Europe, you see all these castles, right? Kings had their castles, and they would actually have deals with the other kings. Hey, let's have a war. Warlord king, you know, just a low-grade conflict. None of the nobles are going to get hurt. Just the serfs, right? Anyhow, warlord kings, number one. Theocrats, like the popes, think of the Crusades and the mullahs, number two. And number three, a system called feudalism, which was perhaps the most stable of the three, that largely ruled much of Europe and Japan and other parts of the world for thousands of years. Feudalism could correctly be called rule by the rich. The Magna Carta was the high point of feudalism in England, or in Great Britain, when the feudal lords, the landowners, rose up and said to King John, you have to grant us rights. It wasn't about human rights for everybody. It was about rights for the landholders. So anyhow, the founders said, okay, we're going to flip this upside down and say that none of those institutions will have rights, that the sole holders of the rights, and in this they were going back to the comments, they were going back to the comments of John Locke, and back in 1724, his second treatise on government, suggesting that humans should have rights, that individuals should have rights, rather than the institutions like the monarchy or the church or the feudal estates. And that, in fact, if any of those things wanted to exist, they would have to exist by virtue of our giving them permission to. They flipped this thing upside down. They said, we the people have the rights, and everything else has privileges. Any form of organization that we create will have only privileges. A corporation will have only privileges, a church will have only privileges, a civic group will have only privileges, the local Moose Club will have only privileges. Even the government itself will not have rights, it will have only privileges. That was the idea of the founders. And the rights will be held solely by we the people. And that's the way it was in the United States up until 1886. And in 1886, in an obscure railroad taxation case that went before the Supreme Court, the clerk of the Supreme Court, former railroad president, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, wrote in his commentary, which was not a legal document, by the way, to the ruling, that according to the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, that corporations had rights under the 14th Amendment, just like persons. Churches still don't have rights. Government still doesn't have rights, but corporations got rights. Now, that was not a legal ruling, but over the years, the Supreme Court has treated it as if it were. And as a result of this, corporations have risen up and said, hey, we've got the 4th Amendment right of privacy. See, I mean, these human rights were to be a giant club to beat back government, to protect us from government. Corporations are creations of government. You want to start a corporation, you have to go to your Secretary of State's office and get it authorized. File the papers. Pay your fee every year. You're subject to certain oversights. This should be privileges, not rights. But corporate, like Dow Chemical, rose up and said, the EPA can't inspect us. Sorry, we've got a 4th Amendment right to privacy. Even though our employees, when they come onto our private property, lose their 4th Amendment right to privacy, we can monitor their keystrokes, we can listen to their phone conversations, we can ask them for bodily fluids and inspect them, we can videotape them without their knowledge. We, the corporation, have the 4th Amendment right to privacy. Nike recently claimed the 1st Amendment right to free speech, the right to lie. J.C. Penney, back in 1936, claimed that it was illegal discrimination for a community to try and keep out a chain store. And the Supreme Court, looking back in this 1886 ruling, said, well, I guess so. And that's why you can't stop at Walmart. Well, now the city of Arcata, California, may pass a resolution saying, whoa, guys, we think rights are for humans only. Let's go back to the vision of the founders of this country. I'll give you the details right after this. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do they know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. New analysis from researchers at the University of California at Berkeley portend a troublesome future for workers in Silicon Valley. They predict 1 in 6 current high-tech jobs in the Valley could be sent overseas in the coming years. For the total U.S. workforce, the risk of being outsourced is 1 in 10. They also forecast a rise in offshoring for more clerical-type work, like jobs involving paralegal skills or the processing of medical and insurance claims.
If elected, I'll lie about weapons of mass destruction as a pretext to invade another country.
I'll call myself an environmentalist and gut clean air standards.
Our allies will go from respecting us to hating us, and I don't care.
I'll leave no child behind, unless they can't afford it.
I promise to keep you in a state of fear and anxiety, so you never question what we're doing.
And if you do, we'll call you unpatriotic.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface, and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Two minutes. People just
25 minutes past the hour. Mayor Bob, what is it, Ornelas? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Open the Arcata City Council meeting on Wednesday night, night before last, by saying, it's a lovely evening for democracy. Yeah, they got their share of it. And this is from the Eureka Times Standard. After a discussion, article by Megan Vogel. After a discussion on $100 fines for cars parked on the plaza during the farmer's market on Saturdays, the city council got down to the meatiest item on its agenda, the proposed corporate personhood resolution. The resolution states corporations would not be recognized as having the same rights as people in Arcata. Amen, brother! The most vocal opponent of the and sister, the most vocal opponent of the resolution was Arcata business owner and chamber board member Lee Miller. Just a coincidence, he's a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's the Chamber of Commerce is the industry front group that has fought this most aggressively in Pennsylvania, where 10 cities now have passed laws saying corporations are not persons in our town. Thank you very much. They actually stopped in Potter County, Pennsylvania. They actually stopped a waste incinerator from being built because the out-of-state company that wanted to bring their waste in and burn it in this community, this is not for taking care of the local community, said, well, you can't stop us. That would be discrimination. And they said, we sure can. And they passed a law. It wasn't just a resolution. They passed an ordinance saying, nope, corporations are not persons. They don't have human rights. You can't claim 14th Amendment rights of against discrimination. Sorry. We, the people, have the right to decide what kind of community we want to live in. Anyhow, the most vocal opponent of the resolution was Arcata business owner and chamber member Lee Miller. He says, quote, there are a lot of people in this town that would be considered big business. Now, that's an interesting phrase. There's a lot of people in this town that would be considered big business. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Anyhow, he said, businesses are having a hard time as it is here, and I don't think we should be encouraging corporations to go someplace else. See, this kind of thinking is what brought the whole thing down. I mean, this is what led to the chartermongering era of the 1880s and 1890s, when the government had passed the Sherman Antitrust Act, and all the states had laws that made it illegal for a corporation to behave in a way that destroyed competition. And John D. Rockefeller was doing it, and he was doing it. You know, he was colluding with the railroads to refuse to carry shipments of oil of his competitors. He was, I mean, just a whole line. It's all documented in my book on equal protection. And the state of Ohio said to the Standard Oil Company of Ohio, "You can't do that." And so Rockefeller said, "Okay, I'll leave Ohio. Who will let me incorporate?" And all the states had laws against this behavior. And New Jersey said, well, gee, you bring your business here, we'll change our laws. And then New York changed their law, and then Connecticut changed their law, and then Delaware changed their law, and they still have the least restrictive laws, which is why more than half of the companies on the Dow Jones, the top 500 companies, are Delaware corporations. Anyhow, he says, this is just plain silly, we're wasting time. During a public discussion, this is another story, this is in the Arcata Eye newspaper, Forbes E. Forbes, wonder if that's a pseudonym, said corporations are entitled to their rights because without them, quote, a community could weigh in on how much a corporation pays its president and what their employee benefit plan should be, end quote. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We, the people, might set rules for the game of business? We might say you can't do business in our community unless it somehow helps our community? No, no, we can't have that. Forbes E. Forbes also said, quote, local democracy is a joke. Delivered by a handful of activists who represent a tyranny of the minority. Go for it, folks of Arcata. God bless you. Godspeed. Good luck. Keep up the good fight. Got a conservative alert for you. All kinds of interesting things happening in the world. We'll be right back with that. This is the Tom Hartman radio program, 29 minutes past the hour.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
The White House wants yet another round of corporate tax cuts. It believes cutting the tax burden on business stimulates job growth. But historical analysis of U.S. federal tax rates and unemployment recently completed by the Brookings Institution shows no basis for the correlation. Look no further than the Reagan era. He cut taxes in 1981, and in the following 2 years, unemployment went up. Over the decade, taxation slowly rose again, and by 1989, the unemployment rate had fallen.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Florida state prosecutors have charged the Escambia Charter School near Pensacola with fraud for hiring out high schoolers as road workers during the school day. For approximately 5 years, kids spent only 5 hours a week in class, only a fifth of what state law requires. The rest of the time, they collected trash and did other road maintenance jobs. One of the school's clients was the Florida Department of Transportation. To make matters worse, Escambia Charter School also docked the students' wages. For example, the Florida DOT contracted for the kids to make $16.25 an hour, but the school actually paid them $10 an hour and kept the rest, reportedly making as much as $200,000 from the scheme.
On Wednesday, members of the Independent Association of Publishers Employees, Local 1096, including writers for the Wall Street Journal, protested outside the annual shareholders meeting of Dow Jones & Company, carrying signs reading, "Is this the Walmart Journal?" President of the local, Vigil Hollander, represents 1,600 members, including reporters, accountants, technicians, and programmers.
The members of our local rejected a tentative agreement that called for very low pay increases, along with a sharp rise in health care costs to the employees.
Also in dispute is job and wage security. Dow Jones chairperson and chief executive Peter Kahn's compensation rose 58% last year to about $2.1 million, including a $540,000 bonus, and Kahn's wife, journal publisher Karen Elliott House, received a 32% increase. Yet the union's bargaining committee was told that employee health care benefits must be cut because the company's been experiencing hard times.
There's a truce in the 2-year war of words between Clothier the Gap and the Union of Needle Trades Industrial and Textile Employees. In 2002, Unite targeted the Gap for its indifference to union busting and sweatshop conditions at factories in El Salvador. But this week, the union and the company announced they'll work together to set up a new factory there that will allow independent organizing and will comply with all fair labor workplace standards. It's important to keep in mind, however, that this is one factory out of an estimated 3,000 cited in some 50 countries which currently make Gap apparel.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy released a study for Earth Day that major policy changes must be made now to protect future ocean sustainability, important for environmentalists and workers who depend on ocean resources. The report found that about 40,000 acres of coastal wetlands disappear yearly. Current projections indicate that 50 to 60% of coral reefs may be lost during the next 30 years. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Whoa, is that Donovan? That sounds like an oldie but goodie. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 26 minutes before the hour. Glad to have you back with us. Less than a week to go before the all-important U.S. Senate Republican primary race on April 27 in Pennsylvania. It's our conservative alert for the week, or for the day, or whatever. And here it is from conservativealerts.com, in fact. Less than a week to go before the all-important U.S. Senate Republican primary race on April 27 in Pennsylvania, and you are helping to get that liberal Republican Arlen Specter out of the Senate. Let's take this over the top. I am quoting, of course, from the conservative alert. The latest poll showed that conservative Congressman Pat Toomey has surged against the liberal specter, making this race neck and neck down to the wire. It's actually in all caps there, neck and neck. Specter is, all caps, scared! And it shows he's pulling every liberal trick in the book in his desperate bid to keep his Senate seat. He's even accepting liberal campaign contributions from far-left liberals, including George Soros, who is the radical supporter of MoveOn.org, and he's even trying to get Democrat John Kerry's wife to endorse him since she's contributed to Specter in the past. He's telling bald-faced lies in his campaign ads. Specter claims to be a fiscal conservative who supported President Bush's tax cuts, when in reality he voted for huge tax increases and voted to reduce the Bush tax cuts. Don't you love it? Tax. They borrow $1 trillion from our children, hand it to the wealthiest people in America, and call it a tax cut. Anyhow, back to the conservative. Our plan of attack is working so far. We sent hundreds of thousands of emails to registered Republicans across the state of Pennsylvania, and our hard-hitting radio ads are blanketing dozens of stations, including Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Even stations in states on the border are beaming our pro-Toomey ads directly into the radios of conservatives and Christians across the state. You and your fellow conservatives across the country have made all this possible. Thank you, but we need your help one more time in our final big push. Please go to our website today and make your best contribution possible. We need to work together now to defeat this liberal Republican in the primary. Get him out of the Senate and replace him with a real conservative. Please make your contribution today. Which, more proof that the Republican Party has been hijacked. It has been absolutely hijacked. As some of you know, those of you who are longtime listeners, I actually campaigned for Barry Goldwater when I was 13 years old, 1964, went door to door. I really believed in my heart that he was right. And then I saw the light. Anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. But before we get to that, David Chapman is on the line. David has organized a campaign to deselect the president. It's at pullthesrub.org. And he is a lifelong Republican conservative, David.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for inviting me on the show. It's quite a struggle we have ahead, but one that's worthwhile. I got a kick out of your comment about being 13 years old and going door to door for Barry Goldwater. That was the first campaign that I was active in. I remember, in your heart, you know he's right, and I certainly believe that Barry Goldwater was right, and I believe that much of what he said is right today. I haven't changed my mind about Barry Goldwater one iota. Was proud to work for him. I remember the famous antidote to electing Goldwater was, in your guts, you know he's nuts.
I don't remember that. I did just this last year, though, read his last autobiography. It's called No Apologies. I still think, I think that Goldwater was blindsided by what he perceived to be the communist menace, and I don't think most people in that era realized just how internally corrupt and ultimately self-destructive, disintegrating, that the communist system was going to be. And he was just, he was driven by panic. I mean, it's throughout his book. But other than that, you define yourself as a recovering Republican. You're actually, you have a website here.
Recovering conservative, no longer labeled a Republican. I will never, Tom, allow myself to be labeled or label myself a conservative or a Republican or anything else again. These are labels that are absolutely convenient for the spin doctors in Washington, D.C., and they polarize the electorate. They deter us from the issues at hand, and the issues at hand are human issues. We're all Americans, and we all want the best for our country, the best for our children, for future generations. And this business of labeling to separate us is just got to stop. The cause is very simple. We must de-elect. We must get George W. Bush out of the White House. He's a very dangerous man. He's on the issues on whatever issue you look at, from a huge loss of American jobs to offshore outsourcing, to the skyrocketing cost of medical care and prescription drugs, to the literal rape of senior citizens by the international pharmaceutical cartel.
Well, it's a metaphorical rape, actually.
Aided and abetted by Bush policies and the tremendous contributions made to the Republican National Committee for reelection of Bush, to the his cozy ties with the Saudi government and the royal family to support big oil. And then the worst travesty of all in my mind, the thing that just turned my stomach and made me reexamine all of my values, this business of lying to the American people to put thousands and thousands of troops in harm's way, over 700 killed so far, and this...
It's optional war. The optional war, yes.
The gall to pay lip service to supporting the troops and caring about the troops on the one hand, and then balancing the budget on the backs of veterans by closing VA hospitals and slashing benefits for veterans that can least afford it.
Yeah, but he's not, and he's not balancing the budget. But David, there are some very real differences between historically. I mean, going all the way back between liberals and conservatives. If you go back to the founding of this country, to that era, to the 18th century, you find Edmund Burke, who was the founder of modern conservative thought, and is still cited by people like William F. Buckley as the leading conservative thinker of the day, who said. That, and I don't have the quote right in front of me, so this is paraphrasing from memory, but he said, the occupation of a hairdresser or less noble or a tallow maker, a candle maker, or less noble professions are necessary in our society, but it harms us all if such persons are allowed to participate in governance. So on the one hand, there was and continues to be. In 1953, Russell Kirk wrote The Conservative Mind, which Barry Goldwater cites repeatedly, which William F. Buckley says was the defining moment of the conservative movement in the United States. Ronald Reagan quotes it. In The Conservative Mind, Russell Kirk pointed out that the conservative worldview believes that there really is an intellectual elite or an elite. There are elites, and that an elite should rule, that you can't allow the rabble to rule. John Adams talked about this at length. John Adams, our first really conservative president. And he was very, very concerned about what he called the rabble. He passed the Alien and Sedition Acts, which was the first Patriot Act, threw in jail 20 newspaper editors who dared to oppose him, threw in prison Matthew Lyon, the congressman from Vermont, for going on the House of Representatives and claiming out loud that Adams' policies favored the rich and not the average person. He threw him in prison for that. Matthew Lyon ran for re-election in 1789 from his jail cell in Vergennes. Mm-hmm. And so there is, on the one hand, there's that long line of conservative thinkers saying we really do have to have an elite, and the modern thinking on this is that the appropriate elite is the corporate elite, because they are somehow tapped into this mythical thing called the free market, which will ultimately regulate everything because of the invisible hand, although they kind of miss the fact that Adam Smith, when he talked about the invisible hand, was actually warning us about it, not blessing it. But in any case, there's that. And then on the liberal side, you've got going back to Rousseau and what's his name, who wrote the first his second treatise on government. I just lost it. In fact, I quoted him in the first half hour. John Locke, and John Locke suggested that instead of elites ruling, which had been the traditional way, and Hamilton really was, in the conservative camp, he was opposed to this. He proposed a limited monarchy, essentially, at the Constitutional Convention. But Locke in 1724 said that individual humans, all of us, regardless of our station in life, have rights and should be able to exercise those rights. And those were the liberal principles upon which the country was founded. You know, George Washington said, I hope to see an ever-increasing amount of liberality in the United States, and continue through this day. These are the two sides of this, and I think that most Republicans, or most people who call themselves conservatives, don't really understand the history. They don't read the rhetoric of the conservative thinkers. People, how has your thinking progressed through this? I mean, you're sounding, all the things you were talking about, you're sounding like a liberal, frankly.
Well, Tom, I think what we're doing here, what we're talking about, transcends labels. And the labels, I go back to the convenience for the politicians and the corporate elite that want to run this country. The good people that were brought to us managing Enron and WorldCom and all of these companies that are
they don't just want to run us. They are running us.
They
are running the show. So, pardon the interruption.
They are running the show, and they're running the show through their surrogates who they support financially to get into office. And what happened, the best thing that's happened from the Bush administration for this person, for me, and the reason I had to get involved, is it's been a real hit. All of his malfeasance in office has opened my eyes and caused me to reexamine my values and who I am and what I need to do. And that's why I started pulltheshrub.org and the campaign to de-elect the president. I think he's a dangerous man by his behavior, by his horrible lack of leadership, by especially his paranoid treatment of anyone on his staff that disagrees with him.
Yeah.
The incredible shabby treatment of Joe Wilson. And who is it that on the inside somewhere within the White House exposed Joe Wilson's wife as a CIA operative?
Yeah, in fact, we're going to have Joe Wilson on this show. Joe Wilson on this program here in about 2 weeks.
That is not just unconscionable. It's criminal.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I can't recall me a Republican. I'm a lifelong former conservative, labeled by others. Well, call me what you will, but I'm in this battle to de-elect this president. And any listeners out there that agree with that, please go to the website www.pulltheshrub.org.
Yeah.
There's 12 ways to get active that are very, very simple. You can either sit and watch Bush commercials and mutter obscenities if that's your pleasure.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Or you can do something about it.
And we must. Action. David Chapman, what was the turning point? I mean, a lifelong Republican, a lifelong conservative. You mentioned, for example, George Bush and the senior administration official who committed treason by the definition of George Bush Sr. in outing a CIA agent and bringing down an entire international counterterrorism effort on the part of the CIA. Of course, George Bush himself said about that.
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Was that the moment? I mean, what was the moment when you said, "Wait a minute, 30 years of being a Republican, it's time to change"?
Tom, to say there was any one moment wouldn't be truthful. It's a whole lot of different moments that have come together that caused me to, over a period of time, probably 6 months or so, wake up and really be frightened for our country.
Yeah.
We have a dangerous guy running the show. It probably started with Joe Wilson's revelation that this business of Nigeria selling fissionable materials to Iraq was the evidence for that was not only a fraudulent piece of evidence, but it was an obvious, very poor document, poorly drawn. Elementary school child could have done better.
It had typos. It had
Nigerian government.
It had names of dead people on it. I mean, it was
names of non-existent and dead people on it.
Yeah.
And to go to war on that pretense and put tens of thousands of American men and women at risk, and then to do this two-faced business about how we are for the troops, while cutting veterans' benefits that for those that can't afford it.
Yeah.
But then the piece de resistance is my activity attempting to help people buy drugs in Canada, buy their medicines in Canada. And seniors were being told for quite a time by senior officials of the FDA that medicine from Canada is unsafe.
And where are the dead Canadians? You know, you would think they'd be dropping like flies, right? Yeah, yeah. There are
Here's a little bit of fun information for you and your listeners.
Okay, we got about a minute left here, David.
There's an organization called Health Canada. Health Canada is the honest version of the Canadian FDA. It's like our FDA, except it's an honest version of an FDA. They don't have people running out and taking cushy jobs with the pharmaceutical cartel after their...
David, I got to ask you to hold that thought right there. Sorry, we have the tyranny of the clock on this. Speaking of tyrannies, it's 10 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. We're talking with David W. Chapman, www.pulltheshrub.org. Check it out. Hang on, David. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Expanding oil and gas drilling in the West is pitting one business interest against others. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Oil and gas development is rapidly spreading in Western states, raising tension between the industry and local ranchers and business people. Scott Woodruff operates the Lander Llama Company Wilderness Expeditions. He offers backcountry trips on federal lands in the Wind River and Absarca Ranges in western Wyoming.
I'm not directly affected as of yet. However, it is moving our direction, and I think now is the time to say enough is enough in terms of a rapid expansion without any consideration to the long-term economic loss from visual values.
Like others in the region, Woodruff is not opposed to oil and gas development in general.
However, I am opposed to multiple-use extraction on public lands at the expense of the physical and economic values the Red Desert, for example, offers. To suggest one economic value is more important than the other at the expense of eliminating the visual resource value and possibly the physical environmental value forever, that seems to be an unacceptable multiple-use management plan.
Outdoor recreation, including hunting, fishing, and hiking, is Wyoming's second leading industry behind mining and drilling. But critics say federal policy favors the oil and gas industry over these local businesses. Woodruff says outfits such as his can't survive without unspoiled views and without the wildlife. He says we can't afford to ruin the last of these open spaces in our quest for energy.
I think Aldo Leopold said it best, having to squeeze the last drop of utility out of the land has the same desperate finality as having to chop up the furniture to keep warm.
That's Scott Woodruff, owner of the Lander Llama Company in Lander, Wyoming. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman here with you. 5 minutes before the hour, we're talking with David Chapman, the originator of the website www.pulltheshrub.org. David, we've got a couple of callers. Dave in Humboldt County's on the line with us. Dave, welcome to the program. Dave in Humboldt County, what's up?
Dave, I've become such a fan of Tom here in this program because of wonderful people like yourself. I think you wanted very much to continue seeing yourself as a loyal Republican, but I think you looked at reality and saw it for what it is. I think that's very difficult for a lot of people. I listen to some that are calling and talking on these Limbaugh and Hannity programs, and I think no amount of evidence will cause them to see a reality that you have found yourself having to face. Do you think there's more that know in their heart that there's something they better look at here?
Good question, Dave. Thank you. Dave?
I hope so, Dave. What we're doing is we're providing a platform of information, and our approach is frankly to use humor and ridicule, if I may, with our weapons of mass destruction.
I think satire is
and posters, et cetera.
Satire is the word you want, David.
Satire. Thank you. That's better. It's a very easy subject to satire because of so many gaffes. Embarrassing gaffes that this president has made publicly. One of my very favorites, by the way, is it's clearly a budget. There's a lot of numbers here.
Right, David. A quick question here. We've only got about a minute left. Are you going to vote for John Kerry?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to turn off the vote. I am going to vote for John Kerry. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it'll be the first time you voted for a Democrat.
The very first time in my life, and I've just hit 62.
That's remarkable. I salute you for that. This must have been a difficult and life. You know, for me it was the Vietnam War. That was my epiphany. For you it was the Iraq War. Apparently, I suspect we've both gone through something very similar. And congratulations. The website www.pulltheshrub.org. Our guest, David Chapman, Sr. And, David, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. There's a lot of ways to get active and help in the key states, so please tune in, and we need your help.
Okay, great.
Thank
you.
Do
good, David. Bye now. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program? Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. A website published dozens of photographs of American war dead arriving at the nation's largest military mortuary, prompting the Pentagon to order an information clampdown on Thursday. The photographs were released last week to First Amendment activist Russ Kick, who had filed a Freedom of Information Act request to receive the images. Air Force officials initially denied the request, but decided to release the photos after Kick appealed their decision. After Kick posted more than 350 photographs to his website, thememoryhole.org, the Defense Department banned the further release of the photographs to media outlets. The photos were taken at the Dover base, home to the mortuary, and most of the images are of flag-draped coffins. In yet another election year flip-flop, thousands of Iraqis who swore allegiance to Saddam Hussein's political party may be getting jobs under the U.S.-led coalition in Baghdad as the Bush administration struggles to put down growing resistance. General John Abizaid, head of Central Command, disclosed last week that the military was reaching out to former Iraqi army officers to help shore up the struggling Iraqi security services. After Saddam was toppled a year ago in the U.S.-led invasion, members of his ruling Ba'athist party and senior Iraqi military officers were banned from any role in the transition to Iraqi self-rule overseen by U.S. Viceroy L. Paul Bremer. The Bush administration's plans for a new caretaker government in Iraq would place severe limits on its sovereignty, including only partial command over its armed forces and no authority to enact new laws. These restrictions to the plan negotiated with Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN special envoy, were presented in detail for the first time by top administration officials at congressional hearings this week. The administration's plans seem likely to face objections on several fronts. More Minuteman News after this.
This week on TBTM Radio.
It says Pal Felcini and his allies, his chief aide, Scooter Libby.
Scooter. Bring that in here, Scooter. Scooter, get that to me at once. Yeah. Now, Scoot.
Scooter, make your bed.
That's got to be Scooter. Weird. That's weird. I mean, you know, that's like the Beeb.
I know, right?
This is weird. These guys, I mean, they're like some weird high school sitcom. What's the zip code for Washington, you know? 902?
90210.
This is bad.
TBTM Radio, on the web at takebackthemedia.com.
A rampant rhinoceros gave a group of visitors a glimpse of nature in the raw at a British safari park when he tried to have sex with their car. Sharka, a two-ton white rhino, got amorous with Dave Alsep's car when he stopped with three friends to take pictures of the animal mating with its partner, Trixie, at the West Midland Safari Park. The 12-year-old rhino tried to mount the Renault Laguna from the side, denting the doors and ripping off the wing mirrors before Dave drove away with a puffing Sharka in pursuit. For Minuteman News, this is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
J.
job growth surges in March, blared the headlines, and what a rose-colored rush of self-congratulation ensued. George W. gloated like the boy who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum. Economists were high-fiving each other. Editorialists hailed the new boom. And you'd have thought the bluebird of happiness was singing in every backyard. But even as Bush strutted atop a made-for-TV platform that his staff had emblazoned with the slogan, Strengthening America's Economy, the whole scene had a false feel to it. Eerily similar to George's strut in his Top Gun costume last year aboard that aircraft carrier that his staff had emblazoned with the declaration, Mission Accomplished in Iraq. Just as our troops are still mired in that bloody war, so are most Americans still mired in a low-wage economy that can't be fixed by presidential strut. For the powers that be to celebrate the addition of 300,000 jobs is ludicrous in an economy that has lost more than 2 million jobs since Bush took office and that continues to offshore our best-paying jobs. If you peek beneath the headlines, you'll find that the number of out-of-work Americans actually went up by 200,000 in March, and the number of underemployed, those wanting full-time work but only getting part-time jobs, was up by 300,000. Also, of the ballyhooed new jobs that Bush claims to have created in March, nearly 50,000 are not new at all. They're the jobs of California supermarket workers who had been on strike and have now returned to their old jobs. Worse, what Bush and the powers that be don't want us noticing is that nearly all of March's job creation was in low-wage, no-benefit work that cannot sustain a middle-class way of life. Indeed, despite the gloating over March's job stats, average weekly earnings went down in March. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real issue is not job numbers, but the decline in good jobs, the very lifeblood of America's middle class.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 Digital Color Copier Printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 7 minutes past the hour. It's Friday afternoon, our second hour of our three-hour program. Time for Brunch with Bernie. One of my favorite segments for the week, Congressman Bernie Sanders. In 1991, became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years. He's been reelected 5 times, the longest-serving independent in the history of the United States House of Representatives. I think of Bernie Sanders, even though he's my congressman, I think of him as America's congressman. Bernie does travel around the country and talk to people. He's very knowledgeable about a wide range of issues, but as an independent, he has an absolutely unique view. And Bernie, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Tom.
I'm so glad to have you. Where are you today, by the way?
I am in South Royalton.
In Vermont.
Vermont.
Great.
And we just spoke to some young people at Vermont Tech, a college in the central part of our state.
Marvelous. I have a bunch of things here, many of them off your website, some of the things that you're really hotly interested in right now that I wanted to talk with you about. But is there something on your agenda that you wanted first to...
I did. Let me just talk a little bit. Having talked with these young kids at Vermont Technical College in Randolph, Vermont, I learned something. And, you know, you learn something about politics, which is a fascinating business as to how people come to their viewpoints and why they believe what they believe.
Yeah.
And one of the concerns that I have, Tom, and let's spend a minute on it perhaps, is, you know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, politics is really not so much about issues. It's about, quote-unquote, character. And I like President Bush because he is, this is what people say, you know, he's kind of straightforward. He takes positions. He stays with those positions. You may not agree with him every time, but you know where he's coming from. You know, a lot, millions of Americans like President Bush for that reason. And what concerns me is people are not saying, yeah, he does stick to his positions. That's often true. But what are those positions? And to understand that politics is not picking a star for a Hollywood Oscar, right? Boy, that was a great performance. Rather, what government and politics are supposed to be about is what is going on in Washington good for my life? You follow?
Oh, yeah, and good for the democracy and good for the nation.
Right. I mean, good for the values that we hold as a democratic society. And too often, and the media pundits do this as well, they say it's not about issues, it's about character, it's about leadership. Wrong. It is precisely about issues. It is whether the government of the United States, the president, and Congress are improving your lives or they are making it worse. But it is interesting to me to hear kids say, well, you know, I like him because, you know, he's straightforward, he's this, he's that, which he may or may not be. He may be an interesting guy to have a beer with or to sit down and talk with. But whether or not the government under his leadership is making our economy stronger so that we have more decent-paying jobs or fewer, people should think about that. Whether our health care system is getting better so that more people have good coverage or we have worse coverage. Whether the distribution of wealth and income in this country is improving so the middle class is expanding or whether it is shrinking. Are we better respected around the rest of the world or are we less respected? Is the environment becoming cleaner or is it becoming dirty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And when you look at those issue by issue by issue, I think the overwhelming majority of the American people say, no, this guy is not doing a good job. But where he does well is that many people, quote unquote, like him, which, you know, fine, people are entitled to their taste. But I think we have got to do is demand that people look at the hard issues that impact their lives.
Yeah, amen. Well, and not only that, I was just looking for the list. I don't have it right here in front of me, but George Bush has flip-flopped on so many of the vital issues. I mean, he's like Mr. Flip-flop. It's just really quite extraordinary. And yet he's portraying himself as, you know, Mr. Well,
straight shooter, tell it like it is, and so forth. And I'll tell you, that resonates with people.
It's like, you know, I'm in favor of our children all learning, but we're not going to fund that bill. I'm in favor of seniors having medical, drug prescription, but we're not going to fund that.
You know, and the media, of course, does a terrible, terrible job on it.
Yeah,
and I think that as, you know, this is very simple. And I respect and you respect. People have different philosophical approaches, different political points of view. You are a very strong exponent of democracy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We respect that.
Yeah.
But I think what we need to do is take a hard look at the real issues impacting all of our lives, primarily the middle class. And we've got to say, okay, is this guy taking us in the right direction or the wrong direction? I think any honest ascertainment of that record suggests we're moving in a very, very dangerous and wrong direction.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say, and I would emphasize your comment about the middle class, because the middle class, as Jefferson pointed out, he called it the yeomanry. I mean, you know, they had a different phraseology back then. But over and over again in his letters, Jefferson pointed out that is the sure, what he called the sure foundation of a Republican government, which today we would call a democracy, modern democracy. We don't so much, other than, you know, people on the extreme right who want to parse words, refer to this as Republican government, but it is a republic after all. Our number 1-866-889-8894. If you'd like to be on, if you have questions for Congressman Bernie Sanders or for me, or you know, want to get into this thing, it's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie, House Resolution 2488. This thing, continuation of Congress after catastrophic event. I have been getting so many emails from people about, this is it. They're getting ready. There's going to be a disaster. They're going to take over. This is going to give the executive branch the ability to take. George Bush is going to do a coup d'etat. What's going on with this?
Well, first of all, this is very personal to me. This is me.
Yeah, it's about what happens.
535 other people. This is what I think. I mean, sometimes people become a little bit paranoid, a little bit conspiratorial, right?
Sure.
So let's calm down and not do that. I mean, I think my own personal guess is two factors are at play. I think there are some people who are legitimately saying, okay, what happens if, God forbid, you know, the Capitol is blown up and 300 members of Congress get killed, right?
Yeah.
What do you do then? Is that a crazy question? No, it's not. And the second, you know, on the other hand, do I think that some of this is motivated by, again, trying to make everybody in America afraid? Oh, my God, the Capitol is going to be blown up. We can't walk into a subway. You know, we are living in terrified fear. We got to abolish the Patriot Act, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, increasing the climate of fear. Yeah, I think there is some of that, too. So I think there's a combination of those factors. I voted against that because, among other things, it would take several months before we had a new Congress, and presumably, if God forbid you ever had some kind of tragedy like that, you would like some decision makers moving a little bit faster than that. But I think the main point is, Tom, people should not get into paranoia too much or into conspiracy theory. We've got our work cut out for us, and I think sometimes people get into that mindset and are not focusing on the important issue. And the important question is, in my view, is how do you defeat George Bush in November? How do you register people to vote? How do you educate people? How do you organize people? How do you mobilize people? Do all of those things. That's hard-fashioned, you know, work, old-fashioned hard work. That's what we've got to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, Bernie, it's becoming increasingly apparent to me that George Bush is leading us down the path. I mean, you know, with this invasion of Iraq, it's like stirring up the hornet's nest of Muslim fundamentalists. And that we are, if we continue going the way that he seems to be aggressively pushing us and using the kind of rhetoric that is being used, that we may well end up in a situation not unlike Israel. And it almost seems that there are people in this administration who want that. I mean, you know, because it enhances the power of the central government. It you know, you declare a state of emergency, you get more power and those kinds of things. Am I being paranoid, or do you see that?
Well, what I think, I don't know that I would look at it exactly that way, but here's what I would look at it as. You know, in other words, I think what you're saying, why is this guy, why are we now, A, aligning ourselves so closely with the right-wing government in Israel, which has reverberated terribly around the Arab world, so that our longtime ally, the King of Jordan, now does not want to meet with the president. And what's going on? Is Bush surprised by this reaction? And I think what I fear, the way I would phrase it, Tom, is their attitude is we're in for a never-ending war. We are going to be taking on the whole world. And from a political perspective, does it work in the United States? Yeah, I suppose it does. Because as other countries react against us, then we have to be stronger and fight them, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Right.
And, you know, you can mobilize, you know, you can see, you know, more tragedies for American troops. What's the response? Well, we've got to send more troops. We've got to be even more aggressive. And yeah, so I think from a political perspective, yeah, I think you have something.
Yeah, when George Bush, right after 9/11, it was maybe a month or so after, and he had a news conference, and he said, this war is going to last at least 5 years. And I'm sitting there watching him say that. He said, you know, he said it may last, you know, for our lifetimes.
Right.
And he said, but at least 5 years. And I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. And it occurred to me that no sitting U.S. president during time of war has ever failed to get reelected.
And I think the question that thoughtful people have got to ask is, A, understanding that terrorism is, in fact, serious business, and nobody should underestimate it. It really is very serious, and we're up against some real fanatics out there. The question is, how do you best oppose terrorism? And is having troops in Iraq, is something like the siege of Fallujah, is allying ourselves with right-wing governments in Israel, the best way.
Well, and not just
to isolate ourselves from the entire world community. I think the answer is no. That is not the best way to fight terrorism.
Yeah, and it's not just Israel. I mean, we're aligning ourselves with right-wing governments like Saudi Arabia. I mean,
right.
Repressive regimes.
Now, on the other hand, admittedly, fighting terrorism is not easy. But I think when you find that in a country like Pakistan, 2/3 of the people there look favorably upon Osama bin Laden, 7% look favorably on George Bush, this should make us uneasy about winning the hearts and minds of people against the struggle against terrorism.
Yeah, and Pakistan being a nation, by the way, that has nuclear weapons and a very fragile government that's being held together by a guy who overthrew an elected government. In our chat room, I have a question from the chat room. I'll get to that in just a second. We got a call here. John in Riverside, California, is on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. It's Brunch with Bernie. You're on with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Well, good morning, Tom and Mr. Sanders. My question is mainly towards Mr. Sanders, and I'll ask my question and then go ahead and jump off the phone here for the answer. What my question is with these allegations of misappropriation of funds coming out in Bob Woodward's books, what's being said in the Democratic caucuses in the House? Why aren't the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats really raising a stink over this and pushing the Republican leadership to do the right thing and start investigating this regime? Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Isn't this the same?
John,
yeah, isn't
this precisely what some members of Congress are doing? They are asking for an investigation into how money that was ostensibly authorized for Afghanistan went into Iraq, which appears to be a violation of the president's constitutional rights. So there is an investigation. I would say to the listeners that sometimes a lot is happening that you just don't hear about. I mean, people do things in Congress, good things, and you're not necessarily going to see it on the first story on CBS News.
Yeah.
So that is an issue. There are a number of investigations going on. You and I have talked about this Medicare scandal where there's alleged allegations that bribery was being offered on the floor of the House to get votes for Bush's absurd Medicare prescription drug bill. That's
right.
Also being investigated.
Yeah, good on you. I mean, it seems to me like this is almost the same thing as Iran-Contra, you know, diverting funds. But we'll get back to that. It's Brunch with Bernie, our second hour of our Friday segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders on with us. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 1-866-889-8894. If you'd like to call in, we'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
Lancers, bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy.
he was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for...
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Brunch with Bernie, Congressman Bernie Sanders. Our regular guest on Friday afternoons. And 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. Ellen in Grand Rapids is on the line. Hey, Ellen, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
How are you, Ellen?
Good. Hey, I have a question. 60 Minutes had two different segments. One was the Bob Woodward book. The other was one done about a year ago. It was kind of the neoconservative right-wing religious right who said that the reason why Begin was killed in Israel was because they believed that Begin, because he was part of the peace process, was going to have usher in the second coming, and that George W. would be a part of that. This was about a year ago on 60 Minutes. And then at the end of Bob Woodward's talk on 60 Minutes, they asked, Bob Woodward asked him, "How will you be judged, Mr. President?" And he responded, "We'll all be dead."
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Is there any way to put any sense to any of this?
Any watch of that?
Any sense to it?
Any sense to it? I wasn't Begin, by the way.
And I have one
way.
Other
was,
question, and I will
Minister
take your comments
shot.
Off the air. The other thing is, do you think that George W. is not admitting to his idea that the draft will be instituted coming if he gets in a second term, but he's keeping mum about it now because, God forbid, that this should get out because then people will potentially vote against him? And I'll take all your comments off.
Hey, Ellen, you asked.
Thanks, Ellen.
There's a lot of questions out there.
There you go.
Let me start with the draft. There is Charlie Rangel, who is a Democratic progressive congressman from New York City, raised the issue of the draft a number of months ago. And his point was not to support the draft, but to make people aware that many of the young people in Iraq who are getting killed are lower-income people, they're people of color, and that it's not the middle class or the upper class that are paying the price in terms of life and limb. And that was his purpose. But now, given the fact that it appears that more troops are needed for Iraq, I think you are having more discussion about the possibility of a draft, because if you're going to be waging war around the world, you may need more troops. And our military is undersized right now. My political guess, and this is just a guess, is there will not be a draft. And the reason for that is that if I were the President of the United States and I was waging an aggressive foreign policy and wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, etc., I don't know that I would like parents of middle-class kids to be actively involved in the political process, as was the case in Vietnam. Just think for a moment, Tom, if you had all over this country, you know, middle-class families, well-educated families whose kids were going to be sent to war in Iraq, you would have massive opposition, I think, to this war. And I think that's something that Bush and his friends are smart enough to not want.
That's really interesting. That's a perspective that had not occurred to me, and it just it's an absolute aha. About 6 months ago, the draft boards all received letters basically saying, please staff your draft board. Most draft boards around the country are down to like one basic volunteer kind of thing. You don't see that as a
You may, but you tell me what you think will happen on college campuses all over this country if a draft is instituted for what amounts to be a fairly unpopular war.
Oh yeah, I welcome back to 1968.
Exactly. So yeah. I mean, if you're a politician, what you want, you have more flexibility to wage war. If you have a paid military who understand that this is their job, this is what they're paid to do, they, in many instances, want to do it, not in every instance. So you're separating your soldiers and your families of soldiers from, by and large, the political process.
Yeah, so it's a political equation. I mean, I'm in favor of a national service program that includes a draft. We're right at the edge of a break here.
Okay.
So
the other question that Ellen asked is a very profound question. We don't have the time to get into now.
Well, we can do it right after the break.
Okay.
Okay. Hang on just a second, Bernie. It's 29 minutes past the hour. The Tom Hartman Radio Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Brunch with Bernie. 866-889-8894. If you'd like to be on the line, we'll be right back.
You.
What?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, okay. Can you tell me who Louis Armstrong was?
He was the first guy on the moon.
Mm.
You know, one small step for man.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org, because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance and Armstrong's horn. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the...
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Florida state prosecutors have charged the Escambia Charter School near Pensacola with fraud for hiring out high schoolers as road workers during the school day. For approximately 5 years, kids spent only 5 hours a week in class, only a fifth of what state law requires. The rest of the time, they collected trash and did other road maintenance jobs. One of the school's clients was the Florida Department of Transportation. To make matters worse, Escambia Charter School also docked the students' wages. For example, the Florida DOT contracted for the kids to make $16.25 an hour, but the school actually paid them $10 an hour and kept the rest, reportedly making as much as $200,000 from the scheme.
On Wednesday, members of the Independent Association of Publishers Employees, Local 1096, including writers for the Wall Street Journal, protested outside the annual shareholders meeting of Dow Jones and Company, carrying signs reading, "Is this the Walmart Journal?" President of the local, Vigil Hollander, represents 1,600 members, including reporters, accountants, technicians, and programmers.
The members of our local rejected a tentative agreement that called for a very low pay increases, along with a sharp rise in health care costs to the employees.
Also in dispute is job and wage security. Dow Jones chairperson and chief executive Peter Kahn's compensation rose 58% last year to about $2.1 million, including a $540,000 bonus, and Kahn's wife, journal publisher Karen Elliott House, received a 32% increase. Yet the union's bargaining committee was told that employee health care benefits must be cut because the company's been experiencing hard times.
There's a truce in the 2-year war of words between Clothier the Gap and the Union of Needle Trades Industrial and Textile Employees. In 2002, Unite targeted the Gap for its indifference to union busting and sweatshop conditions at factories in El Salvador. But this week, the union and the company announced they'll work together to set up a new factory there that will allow independent organizing and will comply with all fair labor workplace standards. It's important to keep in mind, however, that this is one factory out of an estimated 3,000 cited in some 50 countries which currently make Gap apparel.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy released a study for Earth Day that major policy changes must be made now to protect future ocean sustainability, important for environmentalists and workers who depend on ocean resources. The report found that about 40,000 acres of coastal wetlands disappear yearly. Current projections indicate that 50 to 60% of coral reefs may be lost during the next 30 years. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
is the Tom Hartman Program.
Human beings want to be happy. We have a need not just to live, but to thrive.
Amen. And welcome back. It's 26 minutes before the hour of the Tom Hartman Radio Program today with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment every Friday, our second hour. Congressman Sanders, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, first elected in 1991, reelected five times, longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. And Bernie, we got a couple calls. I know, though, that you wanted to finish answering Ellen's question.
In terms of Ellen's question, I don't have the answers, but it's a question that I think people should be thinking about. And her question is, what impact has fundamentalist Christian thinking had on our foreign policy? Are we playing out some kind of Armageddon strategy in the Middle East? I certainly hope not. But there's no question that you have some real fundamentalist folks out there who do have an impact on Bush's political future.
Yeah, and it goes back. I mean, James Watt, when he was asked at a press conference once why he was willing to sell off Western lands to polluting companies at low, low prices in ways that would damage the lands, he said, well, it doesn't really matter. Jesus is coming back and all things will be made new.
Yeah, well, that's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and this was our Interior Secretary. Anyhow, 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to be on with Congressman Sanders. Mallory, listening on WTKG in Grand Rapids, Michigan, is on the line. Hey, Mallory, welcome to the program.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm in Michigan. I'm a mechanical contractor in Michigan that I started 4 years ago. And NAFTA has really started to cripple my business because we have one of the highest unemployment rates from the NAFTA deal, because a lot of our companies, major companies, are moving out, you know, to Mexico and to, China and stuff like that. And I coined a phrase from NAFTA to change it to not a fair trade America. But I haven't heard anything.
I love it.
In anything going on about this. Nobody's brought this up in the elections and stuff like that. But I'd like to hear.
Mallory, stay on the line if you could. Some of us, who oppose NAFTA, who did everything we could to defeat it in the beginning. Some of us are on legislation that would repeal NAFTA. I myself have introduced legislation that would repeal permanent normal trade relations with China. Believe me, there are an increasing number of members of Congress and Americans who understand, as you have just indicated, that our current trade policy is a disaster for this country and for the American worker. What concerns me very much for those of you in Michigan and the Midwest, Mallory, you may have heard recently that General Motors now is thinking of moving a lot of its parts development production to China. And that will have a tremendous negative impact on jobs, I think, in the Midwest. But the bottom line here in terms of our trade policy is corporate America pushed very, very hard to try to create a situation which now exists where American workers are going to be forced to compete against people in China who make 25 or 50 cents an hour for the jobs that we have. The situation is so bad that hundreds of factories in Mexico have shut down because those plants have gone to China because the owners of those companies didn't want to pay the 75 cents or a dollar in Mexico when they could move to China. That's how bad the situation is.
Well, that's why I coined the phrase, you know, for NAFTA, not a fair trade America.
You're absolutely right. It is a disaster, and we've got to make fundamental changes in our trade policy. If corporations want Americans to purchase their products, they've got to start producing those products in America. We can't sustain over a period of time 2.8 million lost manufacturing jobs in the last 3 years, 16% of our workforce. That's the destruction of the middle class. And trade and NAFTA and PNTR with China is one of the reasons for that. So I agree with you absolutely, Mallory.
Mallory, I believe your senators are Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin, right?
That's correct.
And I don't know who the member of Congress is from the Grand Rapids area, but have you contacted these folks?
Not yet, but we have been, you know, getting letters drafted out to send to them and everything else to try to, you know, stem this off. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think that maybe what we ought to do if these people are going to move their companies out of out of the United States, maybe we ought to put a tariff on them moving their companies out so we can help support the people that they lay off.
That's right. Well, as a matter of fact, Mallory, we have legislation in the WADU, well, not quite that, but something like that. What you should know is that many of these large corporations, General Electric, General Motors, IBM, they receive billions of dollars from you in terms of corporate welfare, ostensibly for job creation, but in fact they're laying off huge numbers of American workers. So what we are saying, instead of giving these big corporations federal tax dollars, let's support the small and medium-sized companies that want to grow decent-paying jobs in America.
Yeah, Bernie, isn't that essentially what John Kerry proposed a week or two ago, too?
I'm not familiar with all of the details. We would, I'm sure, go a lot further than Kerry. What Kerry wants to do is make sure that there aren't tax policies which give tax breaks to those companies which are outsourcing.
Yeah, okay. Mallory,
correct,
thanks for the call.
Which would be really good. I appreciate the time and everything else, and you're doing a great job. And let's let somebody else get in here. Maybe they can pick up on this, too,
okay,
their thoughts.
Mallory, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, 21 minutes before the hour. Kevin in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Kevin, you're live with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Tom and Bernie, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Glad to be on the phone with you. Got a question for you, Bernie. I was watching, actually I wasn't watching, I was flipping the channels, and then I stopped and watched C-SPAN last night. And what are those speeches you guys give at the evening? Special orders or
yes,
something?
Yes, that's right.
I was watching Ron Paul.
Yes.
And he blasted Bush. I mean, 90% of what he said sounded like it came from you almost.
Well, you'd be surprised, Kevin. Ron and I work together.
I have an idea after watching that speech.
Ron's,
Ron's
a conservative Republican, by the way. Let me just insert this for our listeners who don't know.
He's not conservative. He's a libertarian.
That's right. You're right.
And I was watching him last night, and I had to stop. I watched it for. He was on for a long time.
Yep.
And I mean, he was giving a line-by-line recital of what happened over in Iraq. And, you know, coming from he's a libertarian, but coming from a Republican, it was actually quite refreshing
yes.
to see that. My question is, and I don't know how much you're allowed to tell out of school, is how much behind the cameras are a lot of Republicans saying things like him, or is he an exception, or are there others?
Look, Kevin, that's
that
a very good question, and let me
thanks,
answer it in two ways. Ron Paul, who is a libertarian, actually is a friend of mine, and he and I have worked together on some trade issues. He and I have worked together on trying to repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act, and I have a lot of respect for him. I certainly don't agree with him on all of the issues, but he's a guy who stands up and is counted. He votes on some, you know, what would be politically dangerous votes. So I respect him, and actually I like him. And he has been very good on the war in Iraq as well. I think that what you are beginning to see are more and more Republicans who are appreciating that what Bush was telling us in the very beginning was not only inaccurate, but his analysis was wrong. And what is happening is certainly not what they had anticipated would happen. The political problem that you have is most Republicans don't have Ron Paul's courage. And there's an election coming up, and they don't really have the guts to stand up to the president. But just as the American people are understanding that Bush was wrong in terms of his suggestion that weapons of mass destruction were poised against us, he was wrong about the relationship of al-Qaeda with Saddam Hussein. He was wrong about the length of the war, how much difficulty it would be, the loss of life. He is wrong about what is going to happen in the future. So there are more and more Republicans who I think sense that, but unfortunately there are not enough who have Ron Paul's courage.
Yeah. Kevin had called a couple of weeks ago, but I believe he has a son in Iraq right now, too. It's got to be a tough time for him.
Very tough time.
So 1-866-889-8894. Ken in Santa Fe listening on KTRC, I believe. Hey, Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm glad to have a chance to talk to you. I'm on a cell phone. I hope it comes in okay.
We can hear you fine.
Okay. Bernie, I lived in Bennington for 14 years. I've supported you, Ben. I still support you. From New Mexico.
Thank you.
And it's just great that you're on Tom's program. I think it's Vermont in service to the nation. I think it's terrific. I'm the chapter contact for Veterans for Peace out here. You've got a couple of chapters in your state, in Wells and forget where the other one is right now. So down close to Brattleboro, I think. But I know that Veterans for Peace all support you very strongly and really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thanks very much, Ken.
Is there a question in there, Ken?
No, well, actually, I wanted to tell you both that I still get solicitations from Bernie, and generally I haven't been responding, but now that I get to hear you every week on Tom, I'm definitely going to send you a check this time around.
Well, thanks very much. And let me remind the listeners, if I can, Tom, we have a very, very good congressional website, which is www.bernie.house.gov, one of the best websites, I think, in Congress.
I agree.
People can learn a lot, and love people to visit us.
Yeah, bernie.house.gov. Excellent one.
And we thank Kevin very much for his support.
Yeah. And Ken, that was. Bernie, you wrote about this couple who went to Cuba and are facing fines up to $55,000 for violating a 40-year-old sanction prohibiting travel to Cuba. Why is this an important issue for you?
It's a huge issue. I think, ultimately, it's an issue for two reasons. It's an issue that the American people should have the right, everything being equal, some exceptions, but everything being equal, to be able to go where they want to go. It's a question of freedom. You know, the president talks about freedom. Well, you know what? If somebody wants to, from Detroit, Michigan, wants to get on a plane and go to Cuba, find out what's going on there, take a vacation on the beach, just as the people in Canada can do, just as the people all over the world can do, or they're curious about Cuba's healthcare system or educational system, they want to talk to people in Cuba, what's the problem?
Yeah.
That's what freedom is about. You know, I don't think that in every instance of the middle of a war, people have a right to be visiting and so forth, but certainly people are not going to be endangered in Cuba. Thousands and thousands of Europeans and Canadians are going there. So that's number one. Number two, American freedom. Number two, in terms of our foreign policy, I find it so interesting that we not only can visit China without any problem, but we have massive amounts of trade with China. Obviously, to my mind, as Mallory indicated, very serious problem. We're losing, you know, millions of jobs because of our trade agreement with China. No problem, despite the fact this is a communist authoritarian government.
Yeah.
But somehow or another, if people in the United States want to do business with the Cuban government, why, gee, we just can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think most people appreciate that has to do with Florida politics rather than public policy.
Yeah, China has killed more people than Castro in his wildest, most sadistic dreams. You know, assuming that he is as evil as you know, assuming for a moment that he's absolutely as evil as the conservative.
No, there's no debate.
Paint him,
that, of course.
Yeah, it's just.
But the difference here, Tom. The difference here is that economically, trade with China works very well for corporate America, but politically, for Bush trying to hang on to Florida. He's listening to some of the right-wing Cubans.
Yeah. Bernie, I see that there's a bill moving its way through Congress, I believe. I believe it's a bill. I don't have the... Yeah, I don't... Well, maybe I do. Anyhow, that will allow the reimportation of drugs. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that you know, number one, that, you know, you started the thing of people taking buses up to Canada, yet at the same time, you want to support American pharmacies.
Right.
And it seems to me like this is... Like, again, we're dealing with the symptom and not the problem. How do you think this thing is going to play out?
Here's the good news. I mean, as you indicate, I was the first member of Congress to take constituents over, in this case the Canadian border, and what we found is that medicine in Canada sells for a fraction of the price that it sells in America, the same exact company, same brand, same factory manufacturing the product. Now, the House of Representatives passed a number of months ago very strong legislation in bipartisan fashion. A lot of Republicans played a good role. The problem that we had is in the Senate. What you are talking about is a couple of days ago, again, with strong bipartisan support, Byron Dorgan, Tom Daschle, John McCain, Trent Lott, conservative Republican, they have introduced not quite as strong a bill as we passed, but not bad. Now, the goal here, Tom, is not to have all of our pharmacists and all of our prescription drug distributors and all Americans buying product in Canada. The goal is to force the door open so that the big drug companies, who are the most profitable industry in America, will start selling product to Americans, pharmacists, individuals, at the same price they sell to people all over the world. If we accomplish that, we'll lower drug prices in America by 25% to 50%. So I think that this effort is very exciting. I think we've got a chance to pass it in the Senate. And Bush, who is obviously very close to the pharmaceutical industry, gets a lot of money from them. I do not think, with a few months to go before the election, we'll veto it. So this is, keep your eye on this bill, because I think we have a chance to do something significantly in lowering the cost of prescription drugs.
Now, will this influence the, you know, we had Tom Scully, the guy who was the president of the Hospital Trade Association, who then took a job as the head of Medicare for a couple of years, wrote the Medicare bill, and then went back into the you know, working for the drug companies and the hospitals, and put into there that little bomblet that Medicare cannot negotiate with drug companies for prescription prices. Is this going to change that?
We want to get obviously we want to get rid of that absurd pharmaceutically introduced provision. We want to get rid of that. This will do something else, though. This will not address that issue. But what this will do is lower the price of prescription drugs in America, which means that the benefits for our seniors will be substantially better, because for the same amount of money, Medicare is going to be able to purchase a heck of a lot more medicine if prices go down by 25 or 50%. So the immediate result will be, A, lower prices for all Americans, B, to make the benefits for our seniors under any prescription drug benefit much, much stronger than the disastrous Bush bill.
Yeah, and disastrous is being charitable.
I'm a nice guy. I didn't want to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got about 40 seconds before the break. What do you think about higher interest rates in Greenspan?
Generally speaking, let me tell you about my friend, Mr. Greenspan. I have,
Bernie,
always, a lot of suspicion.
I'm going to have to ask you after the break to fill that out. I have played that clip of you and Mr. Greenspan a few times on this program. Love to hear your comments on it.
Okay.
It's Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment, the Tom Hartman radio program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely, because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Floating houses and water buffalo were the mainstays of life for people who once inhabited the vast marshes of Iraq. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southeastern corner of Iraq was once a huge wetland, and some people believe it was the biblical Garden of Eden. For more than 5,000 years, a people known as the Marsh Arabs lived there. But today, the wetlands and the unique culture of the Marsh Arabs are in danger, and scientists are working hard to restore them. Michelle Stevens works on an international project called Eden Again. She says more than 90% of Iraq's original wetlands have dried out, and most of the people who live there have moved away. That's due in part to dams upstream in the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. It's also due to attacks by Saddam Hussein. In the early 1990s, Hussein intentionally drained the marshes, poisoned water, and burned villages. Stevens says the Marsh Arabs once had a beautiful way of life.
They lived on these floating islands of reeds, and their homes were built of reeds. People would go visit each other house to house on their canoes. So everything was waterway. Everything was moving between water.
The reeds in the marshes grew as tall as 20 feet, and the people there wove their homes out of the tallest ones. Stephen says the Marsh Arabs also raised water buffalo. The animals slept on the floating mats where the people lived, and their owners sang to them at night. Stephen says the former inhabitants of Iraq's vast wetland had a knowledge of ecology and practical living that's a true cultural treasure. She says the Eden Again Project is trying to find some of the people who moved away to interview them and learn about their lives. The project also wants to help the people who still live in the former wetland restore the marshes and their way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
What's wrong with this picture?
This picture with George Bush in the middle of it, I think I could tell you. Anyhow, welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, Brunch with Bernie, 4 minutes before the hour. Bernie, we've got just 3 minutes left. I wanted to give you the last word on Alan Greenspan, but also in our chat room, Diesel had asked the question, where are we with Lakhdar Brahimi's governmental organization suggestions for Iraq, and are the neocons working to install Chalabi as prime minister? So I give you your choice, or maybe you can answer both of those.
Well, obviously, I think... In terms of Iraq, when they talk about setting up an interim Iraqi government, there's no question that the people who are going to be installed, if Bush and his friends have anything to say about it, are going to be sympathetic to the positions of the United States government. And what you'll have is a government representing, I fear, more American interests than the needs of the Iraqi people. In terms of Greenspan and interest rates, let me tell you one area that I am working on where there is not enough discussion, and maybe next week we can talk about it at greater length, Tom. And that is, while interest rates today are by and large quite low, if you own a credit card and you're paying debt off on your credit card and you don't have great credit, you are paying, in some cases, over 25% interest rates.
Yeah, which used to be called usury.
And you know what we are going to do? We're going to introduce legislation to prohibit usury in America.
Wonderful.
All right. I'm glad we got that response from you. It is an outrage that people who today are having a hard time making ends meet, who are shopping, buying groceries with their credit cards, who may have missed a payment somewhere along the line, who were late on paying a telephone bill, are now being forced to pay 20, 25, 28% in interest rates.
Yeah, I mean, it was back up until the 1970s, it was by law, you couldn't charge more than 10%.
That's right.
There were laws in the books.
That's right, and that has changed, and we're going to reintroduce that concept.
And what's the threshold?
Obviously, needless to say, the credit card companies and the banks are not too sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a war, but I think this is going to be an issue you're going to see a lot more people talking about, because you have millions of Americans who are paying interest rates that are, you know, sky high at a time when the prime rate is very, very low.
Yeah, it's like dealing with the loan sharks.
Exactly. And that's what the American people are being subjected to.
And it's
crippling
them.
raise that issue, and I think we're going to have a lot of national support for it.
That's great. Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman. Bernie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. A website published dozens of photographs of American war dead arriving at the nation's largest military mortuary, prompting the Pentagon to order an information clampdown on Thursday. The photographs were released last week to First Amendment activist Russ Kick, who had filed a Freedom of Information Act request to receive the images. Air Force officials initially denied the request, but decided to release the photos after Kick appealed their decision. After Kick posted more than 350 photographs to his website, thememoryhole.org, the Defense Department banned the further release of the photographs to media outlets. The photos were taken at the Dover base, home to the mortuary, and most of the images are of flag-draped coffins. In yet another election year flip-flop, thousands of Iraqis who swore allegiance to Saddam Hussein's political party may be getting jobs under the U.S.-led coalition in Baghdad as the Bush administration struggles to put down growing resistance. General John Abizaid, head of Central Command, disclosed last week that the military was reaching out to former Iraqi army officers to help shore up the struggling Iraqi security services. After Saddam was toppled a year ago in the U.S.-led invasion, members of his ruling Ba'athist party and senior Iraqi military officers were banned from any role in the transition to Iraqi self-rule overseen by U.S. Viceroy L. Paul Bremer. The Bush administration's plans for a new caretaker government in Iraq would place severe limits on its sovereignty, including only partial command over its armed forces and no authority to enact new laws. These restrictions to the plan negotiated with Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN special envoy, were presented in detail for the first time by top administration officials at congressional hearings this week. The administration's plans seem likely to face objections on several fronts. More Minuteman News after this.
This week on GBTM Radio.
It says Pal Felcini and his allies, his chief aide, Scooter Libby.
Scooter. Bring that in here, Scooter. Scooter, get that to me at once. Yeah. Now, Scooch.
Scooter, make your bed.
That's got to be
Scooter.
Weird. That's weird. I mean, you know, that's like the bee.
I know, right?
This is weird. These guys, I mean, they're like some weird high school sitcom. What's the zip code for Washington, you know? 902?
90210.
This is bad.
GBTM Radio, on the web at takebackthemedia.com.
A rampant rhinoceros gave a group of visitors a glimpse of nature in the raw at a British safari park when he tried to have sex with their car. Sharka, a two-ton white rhino, got amorous with Dave Alsep's car when he stopped with three friends to take pictures of the animal mating with its partner, Trixie, at the West Midland Safari Park. The 12-year-old rhino tried to mount the Renault Laguna from the side, denting the doors and ripping off the wing mirrors before Dave drove away with a puffing Sharka in pursuit. For Minuteman News, this is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
A promotional letter from a Hummer dealer excitedly made this pitch. Allow me to introduce you to a fabulous opportunity. A tax loophole so big you could drive a Hummer H2 through it. I'm afraid he was not exaggerating. Tucked way down in the arcane language of one of George W.'s tax cuts for the rich was a provision that allows businesses to deduct up to $100,000 from their income taxes for the full cost of big SUVs. At a time when the federal deficit is bloating, at a time when we should be cutting back on the gluttonous consumption of foreign oil, at a time when pollution from cars is amassing a record level of the carbon dioxide gas that causes global warming, Washington has gouged a loophole into our tax laws that actively encourages people to avoid paying a big chunk of their taxes by buying the biggest, hoggiest gas guzzlers and pollution machines that exist in the entire auto kingdom. Bush's loophole literally requires buyers to go for the huge, most luxurious tanks on the road, Hummers, Range Rovers, Navigators, etc. The deduction only applies to vehicles weighing 6,000 pounds or more. Forget your zippy roadsters, your perky hybrids, your family sedans, your humble pickup trucks. To qualify for this tax break, your road machine has to be bigger than big. How big? Even the Ford Explorer or the Chevy Suburban does not qualify. An accountant tells of a client who was going to buy an Explorer, but by moving way up in price and weight to the yacht-like Lincoln Navigator, he was able to slip through Bush's loophole and save $20,000, meaning he got the bigger one for about the same as the Explorer would have cost, courtesy of us taxpayers. This is Jim Hightower saying, why should we be giving tax incentives to rich people so they can drive a glorified hog for their latte runs? To help shut down this loophole, call Taxpayers for Common Sense, 1-800-TAXPAYER.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eye!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, happy Friday. It's the end of the week. It's the end of the third hour of the program. Not the end yet, but end of this week anyway. Friday the 23rd of April. Day 279 since Valerie Plame was outed, and this administration has been so-called looking for the senior administration official who committed that crime. 949 days since George Bush said Osama bin Laden wanted dead or alive. The Saudi Osama bin Laden. and which raises some really fascinating questions. The Center for American Progress, David Sirota, Christy Harvey, Judd Legume, have done just a marvelous job of pulling together some research on this, and I just want to share bits and pieces of it with you because it's just remarkable. Of course, we start out, George W. back in the election year of 2000, saying that one of the big advantages he had over Al Gore was that he'd be able to jawbone the Saudis. Here's an actual quote from his campaign, a speech he gave while he was campaigning. He said, and I quote, "The President of the United States must jawbone OPEC members to lower the price and convince them to open up the spigot to increase the supply," end quote. And now we find out, as the Saudis have been decreasing the supply steadily for the last year, and the price of gasoline has been going up and up and up, now we find out that Prince Bandar and George Bush had cut a nice little deal so that in July or August, Saudi Arabia would start shipping extra oil. It takes about a month to work its way through the refinery pipeline, so that in September and October, the prices of gasoline would fall in the United States. Now, this is worth looking into, I think. This whole relationship between the Bush family and the Saudis and the terrorists. I mean, the thing starts back in the 1980s. You had, I mean, this isn't actually where the thing with Bush starts, but this story starts with the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, was investigated by Congress in the 80s, and it appears to be at the center of the connections between the Bush and the Saudis. Perhaps one of the reasons why it was never thoroughly investigated by Congress. The principal of BCCI was a fellow by the name of Khalid bin Mahfouz. A man USA Today reported was among Saudi businessmen who, even after the USS Cole attack, and quoting now USA Today, continued to transfer tens of millions of dollars to bank accounts linked to indicted terrorist Osama bin Laden. End quote. This was in the newspaper before 9/11. Under Mahfouz, who was later indicted for his actions at BCCI, the Wall Street Journal noted in 1991 that there was, quote, now this is the Wall Street Journal, quote, "a mosaic of BCCI connections surrounding Harkin Energy." Harkin Energy, you'll recall, is the company that brought George Bush in with money from the bin Laden family, allowed him to buy in, and he sold $800,000 worth of stock a week before the stock price plunged. And he, it's, you know, the record is quite clear. He sold it based on inside information. Martha Stewart may go to jail for that. George Bush, when the investigation began by the Securities and Exchange Commission, his father was, I believe he was the president at the time. Yes, as a matter of fact. And suddenly the investigation stopped. The SEC issued a letter which George Bush during the 2000 campaign said had exonerated him. The SEC then, even during the campaign, had to issue another letter saying, no, we didn't exonerate him. Our original letter simply says that we stopped investigating him. I still think Harkin Energy. I mean, if they can investigate Whitewater that was 30 years ago, Harkin Energy was only, what, 15, 20 years ago? But that's another rant for another time. Anyhow, the Wall Street Journal noted this, and the Wall Street Journal went on to say that there was a number of BCCI-connected people who had dealings with Harkin all since George W. Bush came on board at Harkin, end quote, from the Wall Street Journal. According to U.S. officials who investigated the bank in the 1980s, quote, BCCI was the mother and father of terrorist financing operations, end quote. A secret French intelligence report identifies, quote, dozens and dozens of companies and individuals who were involved with BCCI and were found to be dealing with bin Laden after the bank collapsed. Many went on to work in banks and charities identified by the United States and others as supporting Al-Qaeda. Now, these are investigations from the 1980s when Bush was involved with BCCI, Harkin Energy, and the Bin Laden family. George W. Bush. Kevin Phillips, the guy who wrote The Coming Republican Majority, a lifelong conservative Republican. Top Republican strategist under Richard Nixon. Reports in his new book about the Bush dynasty. Quoting now Kevin Phillips, quote, Bush made his first connection in the late 1970s with James Bath, a Texas businessman who served as the North American representative for two rich Saudis and Osama bin Laden relatives, billionaire Salim bin Laden and banker and BCCI insider Khalid bin Mahfouz. Bath put $50,000 into Bush's 1979 Arbusto oil partnership, probably using bin Laden Mahfouz funds. End quote. This from Republican Kevin Phillips. Also of interest, former CIA Director James Woolsey testified to the Senate on 9-3-98 that Mahfouz's sister was married to Osama bin Laden. Think about that one for a moment. And according to the conservative American Spectator, quote, Bush has given conflicting statements about Bath's investment in Arbusto, finally admitting to the Wall Street Journal that he was aware that Bath represented Saudi investors. Saudi investors. Like Osama bin Laden's wife. Bush campaign ties to the Saudis. 12-11-01, December 11th, 01, Boston Herald report found that a powerful, I'm quoting now from the Boston Herald, a powerful Washington, D.C. law firm with unusually close ties to the White House has earned hefty fees representing controversial Saudi billionaires, as well as a Texas-based Islamic charity fingered last week as a terrorist front. End quote. Now, who might that powerful Washington law firm B? What are they all about? Who are they connected to? What's going on? It turns out the influential law firm of Akin Gump, whose partners, quote, include one of President Bush's closest Texas friends, James C. Langdon, and Bush fundraiser George R. Salem, has represented three wealthy Saudi businessmen, BCCI's Mahfouz, Mohammed Hossein Al-Armoudi, and Salah Idris, quote, who have been scrutinized by U.S. authorities for possible involvement in financing Osama bin Laden and his terrorist network, end quote. The Center for Public Integrity's director, a guy by the name of Charles Lewis, lays out why these things are important, why it's important for us to know these things. Why it's important for us to talk about it, why it's important for, actually, in my opinion, why it's important for there to be a congressional investigation of this. He said, these intricate personal and financial links have led to virtual silence in the administration on Saudi Arabia's failing to deal with terrorists like bin Laden and on oil policy. He said, it's good old-fashioned, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. You have former U.S. officials, former presidents, aides to the current president, a long line of people who are tight with the Saudis, people who are the pillars of American society and officialdom. So for that and other reasons, no one wants to alienate the Saudis, and we are willing to basically ignore inconvenient truths that might otherwise cause our blood to boil. We basically look away. Folks don't like to stop the gravy train. Time for Congress to look into this. Time for some good investigative journalists to look into this. Well, there is that book, House of Bush, House of Saud. It's getting, like, no coverage. No coverage. By the way, if you'd like to call in, our number is 1-866-889-8894. The third hour here. Anything you want to talk about, fine with me. Couple of I think these are fascinating, actually. Here in the no boring zone. Schools, this in USA Today, this falls into the I told you so category. I have, for, you know, the 2 years that this program has been on the air, I have been saying, and I was saying in my writings before that, this today, by the way, being the anniversary of the 1985 introduction of New Coke, that is Coke with corn syrup rather than cane sugar, I have been saying that this corn syrup, much of it from genetically modified corn, is not a normal food for us. It's not something that humans historically have ever eaten. Our bodies didn't evolve to deal with it. Whereas cane sugar, yeah, sure, and all around the world people chew on sugar cane and suck out the juice. But corn syrup is a completely different thing. It's essentially a drug. It's like in South America, people chew on coca leaf. It's no big deal. Maybe I shouldn't say this on the radio. I've been down there. I chewed on some coca leaf once, and I thought, it wasn't as strong as coffee. But when you there's entire tribes. I mean, for a million years, people have been chewing on coca leaf. Now. But if you add, I don't know what the chemical, hexane or whatever, if you add these solvents and you extract out of the coca leaf pure cocaine, you've got a dangerous drug. And I've been suggesting that, corn is fine. We've been eating corn for millennia. But when you extract corn syrup out of it, just the sugar out of it, and particularly out of the genetically modified corn, that you've got a problem. And now here's this study. School programs discouraging carbonated drinks appear to be effective in reducing obesity among children. It's in the British Medical Journal. They did this study. They point out previous studies of anti-obesity school programs, some costing millions of dollars, have been disappointing. Such programs, which included reducing dietary fat or trying to get kids to exercise more, largely failed to show any meaningful impact. So what did they do? They went in and they told the kids, just stop drinking the soft drinks. In other words, get the corn syrup out of your diet. And when they did, the percentage of overweight and obese children dropped 0.2%, whereas the group that didn't take out the corn syrup, the carbonated drinks rather, increased by 7.5%. You want to stop obesity? Stop the drinks. It's the Tom Hartman Program, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
On December 10th, the Bush administration joined 45 states, warning Americans not to eat fish with high mercury levels that can cause birth defects and learning disabilities. But days later, the administration said it wanted to give power plants permission to shower more mercury onto our lakes and streams for 10 years longer than the law allows. Sound fishy? Mr. President, there's a better way to strengthen the State of the Union. Protect us, not the polluters who contributed to your campaign. Enforce the Clean Air Act.
For years, economists have defined the economic health of a country by its gross domestic product.
trouble is, every time a forest falls, the GDP goes up. With every oil spill, the GDP goes up. Every time a cancer patient is diagnosed, the GDP goes up. Is this how we measure economic progress? Economists must learn to subtract.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface. And only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Is the end coming soon?
I feel rivers overflowing.
Uh-oh.
I feel the voice of rage and ruin.
Yes, indeed. I love it. There is some great music out there. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 25 minutes past the hour. This study, just to wrap this up, the investigators studied 644 children ages 7 through 11 in six primary schools in Christchurch, England. During 2001-2002 school year, half the classes participated in a program discouraging the regular use of soft drinks, and the other half did not. And the half of the kids... Keep in mind, 644 kids, a year-long study, the half of them who did not participate in the program that simply discouraged the drinking of soft drinks, they increased, 7.5% of them became obese, whereas the other half who participated in the program and did not and were discouraged from drinking soft drinks had a 0.2% reduction in obesity, and the reality is that they weren't keeping soft drinks away from these kids. They were merely discouraging them. They were educational programs to discourage them. In fact, they said that the average reduction was 0.6 of a can a day. That was all it was, the average reduction. And yet it had that huge result. So, I stand vindicated. 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to be on the air with us. Alan in Florida is on the line. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, I was wondering, what can we people do who invest in these large companies and we don't like their policies, like in pollution or the trade laws? I was wondering, what can we do? Can we send letters to the company or something like that?
What can we do if you invest in a company and you don't like how they're polluting? Number one, you can become a stockholder activist. Many of these very large corporations have shareholder meetings where shareholders can stand up and speak. It's sometimes a long and torturous song and dance to get on the list, but a lot of people do it. And sometimes you can do it with as few as one share of stock. Another is to write letters to the editor, to your local newspapers. Another is to contact your local elected officials. I mean, the reality is the corporations, even though they are claiming personhood, haven't nailed it down 100% entirely, and they are still authorized and in some ways regulated by local, state, and national officials. So I would say, you know, all of those things, you want to get as loud as you can locally. You want to participate with the democratic institutions, contact your elected officials, and spread the word. I mean, a lot of citizen campaigns where they organize people and they get out on the streets and they march and whatnot have actually been very successful in changing corporate behavior over the years. Does that answer your question, Alan?
I sure did. I appreciate your help.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate your listening. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Moving along, Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Not a great deal, Tom. On the flap about the photos of our war dead in Dover, Delaware.
Yes.
I'm back in 1991 when that ban first went into place, and it was obvious that George Bush Sr. had put it in place to try and blunt any political damage the pictures of dead soldiers coming home would generate. There were a lot of people at that point that pointed out that, it was very much like the Stalinist propaganda policies back in the late 40s and early 50s. And as you pointed out, Bill Clinton largely ignored the whole thing. He was photographed with at Dover with the dead of the USS Cole, I believe.
Yes, and on other occasions as well.
Yeah.
He allowed the pictures. He didn't enforce it, essentially. Yeah.
But, the standard, this is so typical of the Bush administration, taking no responsibility for anything. Bush somehow can't remember any mistakes he's made in 3 years, and they absolutely don't want us, the American people, to see any of the unpleasant results of their decisions and policies. This is nothing but pure self-serving propaganda. And it's interesting to me how the debate is being framed in very civilized terms, talking about, the family's feelings and whatnot, when it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's just not the case. Well said, Chris. Well said. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Florida state prosecutors have charged the Escambia Charter School near Pensacola with fraud for hiring out high schoolers as road workers during the school day. For approximately 5 years, kids spent only 5 hours a week in class, only a fifth of what state law requires. The rest of the time, they collected trash and did other road maintenance jobs. One of the school's clients was the Florida Department of Transportation. To make matters worse, Escambia Charter School also docked the students' wages. For example, the Florida DOT contracted for the kids to make $16.25 an hour, but the school actually paid them $10 an hour and kept the rest, reportedly making as much as $200,000 from the scheme.
On Wednesday, members of the Independent Association of Publishers Employees, Local 1096, including writers for the Wall Street Journal, protested outside the annual shareholders meeting of Dow Jones & Company, carrying signs reading, "Is this the Walmart Journal?" President of the local, Vigil Hollander, represents 1,600 members, including reporters, accountants, technicians, and programmers.
The members of our local rejected a tentative agreement that called for very low pay increases, along with a sharp rise in health care costs to the employees.
Also in dispute is job and wage security. Dow Jones chairperson and chief executive Peter Kahn's compensation rose 58% last year to about $2.1 million, including a $540,000 bonus, and Kahn's wife, journal publisher Karen Elliott House, received a 32% increase. Yet the union's bargaining committee was told that employee health care benefits must be cut because the company's been experiencing hard times.
There's a truce in the 2-year war of words between Clothier the Gap and the Union of Needle Trades Industrial and Textile Employees. In 2002, Unite targeted the Gap for its indifference to union busting and sweatshop conditions at factories in El Salvador. But this week, the union and the company announced they'll work together to set up a new factory there that will allow independent organizing and will comply with all fair labor workplace standards. It's important to keep in mind, however, that this is one factory out of an estimated 3,000 cited in some 50 countries which currently make Gap apparel.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy released a study for Earth Day that major policy changes must be made now to protect future ocean sustainability, important for environmentalists and workers who depend on ocean resources. The report found that about 40,000 acres of coastal wetlands disappear yearly. Current projections indicate that 50 to 60% of coral reefs may be lost during the next 30 years. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back.
I sold my privacy so that I would always be pretty.
Oh, boy.
And I can tell you that the best things are free. The proof of torture.
Welcome back. 26 minutes before the hour. Tom Harbin here with you. Another little science tidbit for you. I actually started taking this stuff a year ago when I first saw the report about Alzheimer's. Not that I think that I have Alzheimer's, but I just thought the report was fascinating. There was an epidemiological study that was done in India, and they discovered that among people who were eating a native Indian diet, there was virtually no Alzheimer's, whereas among Indians in India who had switched over to a more Western diet, there was a fairly high incidence of it. And they were quite sure it had nothing to do with mad cow disease. And when they tracked it back, they found that it was curry. Curry was the thing that made the difference in this epidemiological study, you know, where they look at a whole lot of people and say, you know, what's the one variable that the people who don't, and the curcumin, which is the active ingredient in curry, it's a yellow dye, or it can be used as a yellow dye. It's the yellow stuff that makes curry yellow. It's actually the root of turmeric, of a plant of some kind. That curcumin actually not only prevented dementia, but also seemed to enhance mental functioning. So I thought, well, that's cool, you know. And it's just a food, right? I mean, it's just curry. It's like, you know. So I bought some, and I take a capsule of it every day, and it's the equivalent of basically of eating a meal of curry. You know, just capsules, like, you know, less than a teaspoon, which is what would be in a bowl of curry. And I feel better for it. I, you know, now the placebo effect, I'm perfectly willing to accept. But here now, the new scientist, and this is all over. It was on Google News yesterday, and there's probably, there were 181 stories last night about, you know, around the world about this. Yale University, New Haven, Connecticut. This fellow Michael Kaplan, part of this research team, he says curry, or a spice in curry, curcumin, can almost completely correct the measurable defects of cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease where the lungs get fill up with mucus and people basically drown from them, and our bacteria gets trapped in there and can't be expelled, and people die. People with cystic fibrosis on average live only 32 years. And curry, it turns out, or curcumin, seems to cure this, or stop it in its tracks from progressing. Extraordinarily effective thing. And he said it seems to, well, here's how they describe it, New Scientist. The misshapen protein, this is the misfolded protein, which is a consequence of having the defective gene. I mean, keep in mind, cystic fibrosis is actually a genetic disease. It's not a contagious disease. It's genetic. And the body is producing a bad protein, a rogue protein, a folded protein that causes this. The misshapen protein, though functional, is prevented by the cell's quality control agents from taking its rightful place at the cell surface and is instead trapped inside. Without the protein at the surface, salt has trouble moving in and out of cells. The end result is this buildup of fluids. And what they found was that when they did this with mice, who they had actually given this genetic disorder to, they gave the animals 45 milligrams of curcumin per kilogram of body weight. That would be the equivalent in a person who weighs 200 pounds of taking two capsules of curcumin every day, two 250 milligram capsules. And they found that the animals' gut problems disappeared. There were also changes in electrical potential across the nasal epithelium, suggesting that the respiratory system was improving. Six of the 10 untreated mice, genetically bred to have cystic fibrosis, died of intestinal problems. And in 10 weeks, only one curcumin-treated mouse died. And they go on to point out cystic fibrosis is just the latest disease that research has shown might be alleviated by curcumin or turmeric. Others include inflammatory bowel disease, cancer, alcohol-related liver disease. Hey, bring me another drink, Louise. And most recently, Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, if you're inclined, I've never been a big fan of vitamins. I've always thought that herbs and natural substances would be better. I realize this is a digression from our normal rant about politics, but I find this stuff fascinating. 1-866-889-8894 if you would like to weigh in on the issues of the day. It's Friday afternoon. We can talk about pretty much whatever you would like. 21 minutes before the hour, this is Tom Hartman with you live coast to coast, and Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Well, one, just to support you on the turmeric thing, it's amazing to see how turmeric and bromelain, when taken away from a meal, it's stunning how it helps arthritis.
Yeah, I've heard that. And the bromelain, in fact, there are formulas, you know, that the herbal companies put out for it's an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, it just works. One friend with her knees, it's just been so remarkable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to talk a little bit about Earth Day, and we always...
Yesterday.
And some things, we always tend to talk about how, Exxon and so forth, everybody else, the government is screwing things up. I'd like to talk about personal responsibility and just offer some suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
One is, conservation, as is the thing that can have instant changes in things. And just, offer some things, you consider that you're off, there are 168 hours in a week. And a lot of offices, they leave the lights on all the time.
Right.
Well, if you consider...
And the computers in many cases.
Yeah. And in anything that's on all the time, if you're there, let's say if it's a 50-hour week that your office is open, that's 108 hours. Actually, I guess, 108 hours that your office is there with nothing being used.
Right.
Two-thirds
of the time,
energy wasted.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It's just pure, we could immediately reduce our energy usage in our offices, in a lot of cases, by two-thirds immediately.
Yeah, and in fact, in Europe, they do that. It's really quite remarkable. You drive around in the United States at night, and you see office buildings lit up all over the place, particularly in the big cities. You drive around in Europe in the evenings, and everything is dark. It's just a startling contrast. It gives you that feeling of I'm in an alien land because things are different, and you don't quite know what it is until you figure out that that's like one of the main things at night. European cities look different than American cities.
Yeah. Another thing that can really make a huge difference, we've been doing this for years, is, besides take your own grocery bags to stores, which is an immediate, 99%+ reduction in waste, we take our own containers to restaurants for the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing response we get from the restaurants. Sometimes we even get a 15% discount when they see that we do that.
Because they don't have to shovel it out in the trash.
Yeah, and there immediately we, again, reduce the... Yeah, some of these containers we've been using for like 8 years. And so there's an immediate,
There you go.
They're just, glass or plastic containers we just keep washing. And there's an immediate 99%+ reduction in waste.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are things individuals can do right now. Let's stop blaming everybody else and start, taking care of it ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. We have to look at both sides of it, though. I mean, and there really are three levels of it. One is what we can do individually. The second is what we can encourage businesses to do and other individuals to do. And the third is, and I think ultimately the most important, is the structural stuff, the kind of legislation that can be passed that will, for example, you can use carrots as well as sticks. In fact, they do mostly in Europe. They use carrots where you get tax deductions if you reduce your energy usage. And you have tax credits if you build energy-efficient buildings and things like that. So, the structural building, what... what is the legal infrastructure within which we're operating that will encourage conservation? And if we can, you know, I remember from the election the figure that was fairly well documented. If we were to simply reduce by 3 or 4 miles per gallon the fleet mileage in the United States right across the board, we would have, as I recall, it was a 50% reduction. No, we would no longer need any oil from the Middle East. And I mean, that's pretty amazing. You don't want to do business with Saudi Arabia, and instead we have the exact opposite. If you buy a Toyota Prius right now, and you have a small business, which over a million Americans do, you can get a $2,000 deduction for that car. However, if you buy a Hummer, you can get a $100,000 deduction, because if a vehicle weighs more than 6,000 pounds, it's not considered a car; it's considered heavy equipment. And cars, you can only make a $2,000 tax deduction, but for heavy equipment, you can get a $100,000 tax deduction. And that's one of the reasons why you see so many of these giant behemoths running around. And they are, because they're so large, they're exempted from the fleet requirements. They're not considered cars. And so, you know, 8 to 10 miles per gallon, and it's not part of the, you know, it's just, this is insane. So, anyway.
And we had Jimmy Carter, who did realize that, you know, to give the positive incentives.
Yeah.
One guy I know just went through the whole Hummer thing with his accountant. His accountant got really mad because the guy refused to buy a big truck, and he did pay more in taxes.
Yeah.
And another personal thing we can do on that is, it's bizarre here in Colorado to watch people in the summertime with all their ski racks still on top of their car. Well, that can actually have a 3 mile to a gallon, or sometimes up to 7 mile an hour, 7 mile to a gallon reduction in gas mileage.
Yeah. The other thing is, in those, like here in Vermont, to get your snow tires off your car. I notice a huge drop in on the gas mileage in our Prius when we've got snow tires on it. So, anyhow, good points, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You too. Good points, well said. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. A couple of days ago, on Wednesday, day before yesterday, I published a piece on commondreams.org called "Bush Fails History: Jefferson Predicted Iraq." And I just wanted to visit this topic very briefly. And in the larger context, did you know that back last summer, in June of last summer, 3-4 months after the invasion, the American forces are there, Saddam is gone, Muqtada al-Sadr, the guy that we're saying is this nasty guy, had organized elections? I'll bet most Americans don't know this. It was in June. Here's Sheikh Salim Mejijumar. He says it wasn't a perfect election, but it was fair. It was overseen by academics and religious people, and one man from every house was allowed to vote. When we were finished, we had a local council that represents the people. End quote. The Interpress Service, an article by Aaron Glantz, points out, it's not supposed to be this way. The Occupation Coalition Provisional Authority had declared that Iraq was not ready for elections and had hired the U.S. firm Research Triangle International, RTI, to handpick and train local persons to replace politicians appointed by Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath regime. We're outsourcing democracy now, you see. Only men were allowed in Sadr's so-called democracy. No women could vote. It is, Sadr is an Islamic fundamentalist, and they very much believe that. But it's a step. I'm not saying that that's how it should be, but the Coalition Provisional Authority is saying no elections, and way back in June of last year, they were already conducting their own. This tug of war between supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr and the officials and contractors of the Coalition Authority, says the Internews Service, is playing itself out all over Iraq. Sadr's forces have organized elections in much of the Shia-dominated south of Iraq. A U.S. documentary filmmaker, a fellow by the name of James Longley, said, because real democracy is seen by many Iraqis as the enemy to United States occupation. Now, do you get the irony of that? Iraqis see democracy as the enemy of the United States occupation and United States interests in Iraq. Real democracy is something people who are opposed to the United States occupation support. It's no coincidence that both al-Sadr and Sistani, the two most influential Shiite clerics, Sistani, the grand old man, but he doesn't have the right to run for office because he's an Iranian citizen, not an Iraqi, and al-Sadr, who is an Iraqi, are both... Sistani is calling for elections immediately, direct elections. Let's just elect our representatives. And Sadr has already held elections. The remember when the mayor of Nazaria, this was, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that, was appointed by the Coalition Provisional Authority, and the people rose up and threw him out. You know why they threw him out? Because another person had been elected in June in an election organized by Sadr in that community. And we ultimately went along with it. We said, okay, we're not going to fight with this. The point here is that democracy is a powerful, powerful force. And we are behaving in Iraq right now in an absolutely anti-democratic way. We are treating the Iraqis as if they are dumb children or, you know, not quite smart enough. I mean, this is a very sophisticated culture. Before we tore Iraq apart with 9 years of sanctions, Baghdad was one of the very nice and very sophisticated, technologically sophisticated cities in the Middle East. Iraq was the only country in the Middle East that wasn't largely ruled by religious people. Now, yeah, it was ruled by a despot, but I guess I shouldn't, you know, say that in a way that sounds like I'm endorsing Saddam. I'm certainly not. But the point is that it was viewed by many, let's say, as a nation that had a lot of potential in a report and still does. But we somehow now are overlooking that. We're somehow now saying, well, they're just, you know, these dumb guys. In a report issued in September of last year, the Belgium-based International Crisis Group credits al-Sadr's organization for keeping the peace in poor Shia sections of Baghdad after the fall of Saddam Hussein. Why? Within weeks, this is according from the report, within weeks of the regime's collapse, his representatives claim to have employed 50,000 volunteers in East Baghdad to provide refuse collection, hospital meals, and traffic control. And now we are alienating this guy, shall we say, delicately. Where's it going to lead? It's Tom Harbin, 10 minutes before the hour.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
New report shows energy development posing a growing threat to western trout streams. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Thousands of natural gas wells have recently been drilled in the Powder River Basin in northeastern Wyoming. They're extracting coal bed methane, a gas trapped between deep layers of coal. Drillers often have to pump briny water from the wells to get at the natural gas. The conservation group Trout Unlimited recently produced a report on the impact of oil and gas development on western public lands. Field coordinator David Stalling says water from coal bed methane wells can harm trout streams and other habitat.
That water they're taking out is real high in bicarbonates and saline, and they're pumping that into some of our rivers and aquifers. And we've already seen, for example, along the Tongue River in eastern Montana, there's been as high as a 75-80% decline in aquatic life. It's also changed the composition of the soil, allowing for noxious weeds to take over from native plants. So that has an effect on fisheries and other wildlife.
Stalling says Trout Unlimited is not opposed to oil and gas development in general, but he says the federal government should not open fragile lands to development.
There really is no lack of natural gas in the ground in places where they can already develop. A study done by the U.S. Department of Energy, for example, shows that 88% of the natural gas within public lands in the Rockies is already available for development. And so that can be developed, and in most cases, 60-something percent of that without restrictions. So we don't feel like they need to go into places like the Rocky Mountain Front or the Upper Green River Basin or the Rhone Plateau to meet our natural gas needs.
Trout Unlimited's report is available on its website at TU.org. That's TU.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour. Now, get the irony of this, the absolutely incredible irony of this. In Iraq, al-Sadr, you know, regardless of what you may think of him, you know, I think he's a crass power grabber, but I don't know the guy personally. Maybe he's, really and truly a wonderful altruist. Who knows? Well, regardless of what you think of him, he's actually, you know, he's organized trash pickup. He's organized delivery of food. He's organized... more or less an informal police department. Now, apparently, he's organized an informal army, which has our people very concerned. But he organized elections back in June in many communities. And so what does Paul Bremer have to say about that? He says, and I quote, speaking of al-Sadr, he's effectively attempting to establish his authority in place of the legitimate Iraqi government. We will not tolerate that. Which causes me to wonder, what legitimate Iraqi government? Here it goes on to say, in the absence of a functioning, this isn't Paul Bremer, this is the Inter News Agency article. In the absence of a functioning public judicial system, Mohammed Fartouksi, El Sadr's agent in the Baghdad neighborhood of El Sadr City, used his Hikmah mosque to establish rudimentary personal status courts. Al Sadr's wakils, or agents, distributed vests to traffic wardens emblazoned with the words Hausa Police to do traffic, to keep the traffic from getting all screwed up. But now that he's been declared an outlaw, most of his nation-building activities have been suspended. He has now called for a jihad against the United States and its partners in the occupation. Sadr's chief in Shaule told the IPS a day after his office was attacked by U.S. Apache helicopters. He said, the elections were a long time ago before all this. Everything is clear. The decent men don't want to sit in the governing council. They are traitors. They are only serving for personal wealth and position. Once the occupation is over, he says, history will remember who stood where. This is exactly what happened with the British in the 1920s. Anyhow, thanks for being with us. Thanks to Louise for producing the program. Thanks to Brad for the music. Thanks to Shelby and the folks at RadioPower.org and Ben and WhiteRoseSociety.org for streaming us and archiving us. Thanks to you for listening. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-780-7880.